Hallelujah. Come on, Miller. It's ridiculous, brother. What do you think? Ah, we got people who love to worship, Brennan. I told him last week, you got the easiest job in the church. Dude sings a couple sentences, steps away from the mic, and then everybody takes over. I'm like, dude, you got it made, bro. Come on. That's awesome. Guys, seriously, thank you so much for really participating in such a serious part of our lives in worship. This is not just something we come and do for the first part of the service. It is not. It is something that we engage, that we truly are one church, that we have one voice, and we are making one sound, and that is one of great thanks. And worship is not about you, and we get this in this church. It is amazing that we are so corporate in our worship that it really is about Him. Gang, worship changes lives because it's a direction to put all of our attention on Him. And we take it outside these walls, and we are in worship at home, and we're worship in our time before Him, and we're worship in our car, wherever it is. Gang, it is a powerful, powerful weapon, and it is a powerful tool to bring honor and glory to Him, to keep all of our focus on Him. And we are seeing, we were praying Sunday night for this continued breakthrough in worship. And there is a breakthrough that's taking place, that it is a very pure, sincere, authentic worship where God's presence can come in, and there is rest, and there is peace, and there is joy. And man, it is amazing to see what's taking place. And that is all credit to God. It is credit to our worship team who practices and prepares. Credit to Brendan. The deeper Brendan goes, the deeper we go. And that man is doing such an amazing work as our leader in worship, man. He is taking us to the throne, folks. Powerful. Powerful, powerful. Last night was ridiculous. I don't even know what to tell you what's taking place on Saturday nights. There was like 190, 180, 190 people here last night. That's ridiculous. On a Saturday night, folks. Saturday night. About 190 people coming to church. And then we see what's taking place on our first service. And we see what, who knows what's going to take place on our second service. Awesome. Thank you for being a part of this. Folks, we're seeing amazing things take place in this church. It's because, number one, we have an amazing God. But you know who God uses to do His amazing work? Amazing people. And we have such incredible people in this church. It's awesome. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Thank you for showing up week after week. Thank you for coming into this place hungry to hear God's word. There are such amazing things that are happening in this region. I want you to hear this message this morning, please. I want you to really hear this. If you are, this is single and trusting. If you are single in this place, if you are a teenager, if you're a young adult, if you are of in life, total mature adult age, and you are single, whether it's because you have never got married, or you've gone through the disasters of divorce, or you've gone through the hurt of being a widow. Single and trusting. And if you're married in this place, don't you dare check out. Don't you dare say, oh, that's not for me. Because we talk about marriage all the time in this church. Wouldn't it be awful if when the message just didn't hit that particular person that everyone else checked out? I'm telling you what, we're going to give you tools today as a married couple to speak to your teenagers and to speak to your children. And if you're way past that age, to speak into the light. We are all tools. We are equipping you to do the work of the ministry. That's the deal, man. And you can be married, and you can take this message and what you hear today, and you can use this, and you can apply this, and you can put it into the lives of young people. This is huge. It is one of those messages, folks. We trust every week we come in one way, and we leave in a different direction. I ask God every week to change my heart. God, show me something. Mature me in my faith. God, increase my faith as I preach. And I tell you what, week after week after week, we come in with just such a high expectation that we leave this place different. Gang, we are not checking a box on the weekend. This is what we do on the weekend. We go to church. We have so many people who are pumped about church, who are excited, loving church again. Loving church again. Can't wait to come to church. Can't wait to fellowship. Can't wait to worship. Can't wait for the message. And you come hungry. And you leave different. Week after week after week. Powerful. Thank you. Thank you for being such an amazing people. Such an amazing church who's hungry for truth. Man, I love you. I pray for you daily. Pray for the congregation of this church. Please pray for me. Please lift me before the Father. Please pray for my wife. God is doing some amazing things, and we are standing in awe that He would use us to do it. Amazed by that. This team that serves you in this church, they know. We don't take a day for granted, folks. We don't look at this thing and say, oh, we deserve this. Oh, no, no, no. We do not take a day as a team for granted for what we know God has planned for this church. Hallelujah. It's huge. Father, we thank you for this morning. Great presence, God. We thank you for what's going to take place in the preaching of your word. God, this is one of those messages. God, I need grace. God, that this would be preached with great love. God, this is just one of them subjects, God, that could be one that brings hurt and pain. And God, no, that is not our intention. God, we want to bring healing. God, we want to bring hope. Father, I need grace. God, that I would preach this in great love for these people. God, they don't have to be here. They choose to be here. And that is amazing to me. God, thank you that they want to be here. Father, I ask that every eye in this place would see what we need to see. Father, I ask that every ear would be ready to hear this morning. God, every heart would be so hungry to hear your word. God, that you would feed us by your Spirit this morning. God, feed us today your word. God, we stand and we sit before you hungry, hungry for your word. God, it is truth, God. It is righteousness, God. It is your standard. And that we would live by it. Father, feed us this morning. Father, I pray that you would bring healing this morning. God, I ask that you would bring hope this morning. God, I pray for the singles that they would stand firm and they would stand strong and they would trust in you. Hallelujah. God, this is so real. God, there is an effect in this message that will last them their lifetime. That powerful this morning. It's that real this morning. So, Father, I pray that by your Spirit I have the words to speak to this amazing people, this amazing crew. God, thank you. Now I ask that you would take this serious and that you would ask God, God, I'm hungry. Please, please speak to me. My heart is open. My eyes are open. My ears are ready to hear. I have cleared everything out. You got all my attention. God, I'm hungry. Speak to me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Tuesday night, we were in family devotions and we were praying. And my children pray for me and my children pray for you. And my little guy, 7, Ethan, he prays. He says, Lord, help my dad in his preach. That's what he said. So in that, God help me in my preach this morning. He is praying for you, that as I preach, God would assist, and that we would really take heart this morning. Folks, we're talking about marriage, we're talking about family. We're in this series, Love, Live, Forgive. This is going to be one of those series, gang, if you stick with this. If you hear this series out, in any condition that your marriage is in, if you come hungry, you come ready to lay your pride down, you come humble before the Lord and humble before your spouse, you'll be different. The best marriage will be better. The hurting, broken relationship can be restored. The only marriage I'm speaking to in this series is the one you're in or the one you're going to be in. Gang, this is huge. And this morning we're talking about being single and what it is to prepare for marriage and what it is to be ready for marriage. And the decisions you make, please get this. Next to your decision for Christ, which is an eternal, forever, life-changing, eternity-changing decision, is that we say yes to Jesus Christ. We lay down our sin. We turn to repent from our sin. And we recognize that Christ is Lord. That is the very most powerful, important, eternity, life-changing decision that you will make when you have breath, is your decision for Christ. Or, unfortunately, your rejection of Christ. That has eternal consequences. Next to that, the greatest decision that will affect your everything in your world is who you choose to marry. either who you ask or who you say yes to for the rest of your life. So I would say that it's very important that we take our time and we hear this morning how to be ready for marriage. And we're going to talk about some things this morning that need to be said. And honestly, I am one who does not know how to preach any way but straight. Open this thing and go. And that's what we do. And be quite real with you, I think that's why God's blessed this church. Because we look at His Word and say yes. Because a group of people who say, we will not lay down for anyone or any view or any thought that doesn't match this. I really believe that's why God has blessed this church. Powerful. Powerful. Two places this morning. 1 Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians 6. Please put a marker at 2 Corinthians 6. We will be there in just a minute. Turn over to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians 6. And if you're single in this place, if you are a teenager, please, this is your service, man. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. If you are a college student in this place, don't miss this. Please hear this. If you are in your years and you've never been married, hear this. Single, you've got to hear this. Because I want you to start right. When you start right and you stay right, you end right. And I know in preaching a message like this, please hear my heart in this. And we're going to talk about sexual immorality. We're going to talk about sex before marriage. We're going to talk about purity. And I know, as I preach this, there are individuals here who say, well, passed that line a long time ago. Yeah, I wish I would have heard. You know how many times I heard last night after this message? I wish my pastor told me that when I was a teenager. That breaks my heart. Please know my heart. I love you. This is not a message to bring condemnation for those who have made mistakes in the past. What's done is done. There's nothing we can do about that. And there is great hope for you and an amazing, incredible marriage that God would set up for you in a powerful way. This isn't to crush hope of what God might have for you in a husband or a wife. Not at all. This is to bring hope. This is to bring healing. And this is for those who have walked in a way that is pure to stay on that path with everything you've got. So please, come on, would you just hear this. Point number one of this message is this, that you need to glorify God in your body. You will recognize some things this morning that I have read the scripture. Now, I like to take a day in my preparation. I like to take a day and go over the scriptures that God has put in my heart for a message and just read them and 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 read them again. Scripture after scripture, this passage after this passage after this, and go over them and over them and asking God, God, what is in this that I can bring? What do you want me to speak from this? What can I take from this? And I tell you what, there was something that I saw in this that I have not yet seen before, that I have never preached before. And it's this, that we are to glorify God in your body. Gang, you got to recognize this right off the bat. Your body is not your own. When you get past the selfishness and get past the self-centeredness, what do you mean it's not my own? God gave me this body. This is my body. It is your body. You are not allowed to do anything you want to with your body. It is not your own. When you begin to understand and recognize that my body is not my own, it doesn't belong. We're going to see today right here this morning, number one, it belongs to God. Number two, it belongs to your spouse. So if you're not married yet and you're giving your body to someone else, you're giving something away that doesn't even belong to you. Because it belongs to God and it belongs to your spouse. So when we give our body to another, you're giving away something that isn't yours to give. Wouldn't it be something awful if somebody came in, something that you love and cherished and adored, and somebody just ripped it out from under you and gave it away to somebody else and there's nothing you could do about it? That'd be horrible. That would be horrible. When you begin to see biblically, your bodies are not your own. And we join them to somebody else before marriage. We are giving away something that never belonged to us. That's huge. Look at this. Verse 13.
Food is for the stomach, stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. Verse 15. Do you not know? Listen,
Paul is communicating this like, you should know this. This is something, he says it three times. Do you not know? This is like emphasis. How do you not know this? This is what Paul is saying.
Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members with a prostitute? May it never be.
He's emphatic on this. Do you not know this? That your bodies belong to Christ. And when you get joined to a prostitute, listen, don't ever do that. Don't you know that you're making that member of Christ a member with her or with him?
Whatever the case, look at this. This is what it says. Verse 16, do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says the two shall become one flesh.
That's the act of intimacy, folks. That's the act of sex. Two become one. And when you join yourself, he's saying, listen, you are members of Christ. Christ are members of your body.
He says, listen, don't ever join yourself to one who is not your husband or your wife.
The Bible says that marriage is to be held in honor among all. Hebrews 13, 4, marriage is to be held in honor among all. And when you recognize that word honor, it means something that is of the highest value, something that is priceless. God looks at how he brought about the institute of marriage, one man, one woman, husband and wife, and he created this incredible institute. And he said, this thing here, this thing called marriage that I have put is of the highest value, and it is without a price. And then he says, the marriage bed is to be pure or undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. He takes it very serious. He takes our bodies and what we do with them very serious.
Verse 17, but the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Look at verse 18. Flee immorality. That means run. Get away from it. Stop and burn, man. Turn and burn. This is what he's talking about. Flee. Run. Get away from it. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. This is a sin from within, folks. This is from the inside out. It affects your emotions. It affects your future. It affects your spirit. I mean, it affects your inside. This is what he's saying. This is how real this is.
When you join yourself, when you become one with another person in that act, it affects you. It sticks with you for life. This is the deal. This is what it is. This is what he's saying.
This is a sin that just comes with you and in your body, and it is from the inside out. Again, he says, verse 19, do you not know that your body, again, we are to glorify God in our body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, from whom you have from God, that you are not your own? Look at this, verse 20, for you have been bought with a price.
Therefore, glorify God in your body. When we begin to recognize, when we commit our lives to Him, and we call on Christ's name for salvation, there is something that takes place in this thing called surrender. There is something that takes place within us that we are now giving up everything, including your body. The Spirit of God comes in, takes residence within you. Now you become the temple of God. How incredible is that? So what are we doing with that which God dwells within? And he says, you have been bought with a price. Your body is not your own. We are to glorify God in our bodies. And what he says to do with our bodies is to flee, is to run, is to get away from immorality.
Look at this. Chapter 7 says this. Verse 3, for the husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does.
Isn't it amazing? It is amazing to me as I was looking at this week. There your body belongs to two. It belongs to God, and it belongs to your spouse. I'm thinking it doesn't even belong to you. So if we're walking in a way that is an immoral way, or we're giving our bodies to another before that we are married, God says you're giving away something that doesn't belong to you. It is incredible to me that then he goes right into saying how important it is in marriage to have a good sex life, how important it is to marriage, and to know the privilege that God set up The relationship between a man and a woman in marriage, that sexual relationship, how God created that and how God set that up. It is a privilege for those who are married. It is a place of pleasure. It is a place for a husband and wife to come one. It is a place where even God says, stop depriving yourselves. But only for a moment, for fasting and praying, for Satan will come and he will bring temptation. You know what God is saying? Keep having sex. As a husband and wife, it is commanded. It is amazing. I look through Scripture and I say, God, where else is it? Where in one stage of life, it is destructive. In one stage of life, it is harmful. In one stage of life, you tell us to run as fast as possible away, that you call it sin. But in another stage of life, you say it is blessed. In another stage of life, it is commanded by you. In another stage of life, it is beautiful, something you created. Isn't that incredible? That in one stage of life, God says, sin, stay away. It's destructive. But in another stage of life, God says, it's beautiful. I created it and it's commanded. It's like, listen, again, Ethan is 7 years old. I have guns in the house because I'm a cop. Would it be a great idea for my son to play with my loaded gun? Of course not. It will bring danger and it could cost you your life. Now. But in the future, it could be something that you will learn how to handle and you will learn how to fire and it will be something that you will carry and it is something that could save lives. Huge difference, folks. God isn't saying not ever, he's saying not yet. And when you understand there is a power, when you please, when you get it, my body's not my own. Don't belong. I don't have a right to do with it whatever I want. As a Christian, you do not. Because it belongs to God and it belongs to your spouse. Wouldn't it be awful to cheat on your spouse before you even meet him? Wouldn't it be awful to cheat on your husband or your wife before you even know their name? Please hear this. God set our bodies up. And he set something up in a way for you and I. In a way for teenagers, for young people, for singles. To have this special gift. Please hear this. This will save you. Write this thing down. That you have a special gift that you can give to your husband or to your wife, and it is only allowed to give once. It's only allowed to give once. And that's your virginity. Could you imagine going into the marriage bed pure? Could you imagine going in the marriage bed and what it states to your husband or what it states to your wife to say in all of the temptation and everything that's come my way, I have fled that immorality and I have said no to so many because this is one gift that I am allowed to give one time. It can never be given again. And I saved it for you. I waited for you. This is one gift that I have never, listen, I've given flowers, I've given cash, I've given this, I've taken out to movies, I've done this. This is one thing that I've never given to anyone. This is one gift that I have saved for you. You know what that says? That speaks volumes. That brings trust to a marriage. That brings trust to a relationship. Well, how do you know your husband's not going to cheat on you? All husbands cheat. That's a lie. Well, you know what? I know my husband. And you know what? My husband had many opportunities. But my husband waited, and my husband is a man that I can trust because when we were dating, he wouldn't take it that far. He wouldn't put his hands on me. Why on earth, when my husband who loves me and is emotionally attached to me and cares for me, is strong enough in his faith to say no to me, and then we get married, and then it's just, hello? Why on earth would he go traveling to somewhere else when I know that I can trust him because I trusted him with my body before we got married, and I trusted him with the body of every other woman that possibly could have been an opportunity. Yes, I trust my man. Yes, I trust my wife. Well, how can you trust your wife? How do you know? Listen, gang, you want to kill jealousy? This is how you kill it. You understand? I've done nothing to be jealous over because my man or my wife stood their ground. And God said no. And now God says don't stop. So why on earth would they travel? That's huge. That's huge. My husband saved that gift for me. Never given that gift to anyone else. My wife, she saved that gift for me. Never given. Could you imagine walking in that relationship? Knowing that has been preserved. Knowing that my life, I have been waiting for you. my life, this has belonged, this isn't even mine, this belongs to you. That's huge. Folks, that's huge. You know, maybe you're in this place again and you're in a place where you're saying, Sean, that's great for them. But I passed that line long ago. What, do you think there's no hope for you? Of course there's hope for you. Jesus died for our failures, folks. He died for our sin. And there is amazing hope for you, but it's a decision that you make even this morning that you say, not again. My body no longer is my own. I will wait till that day that I'm married. And I will preserve everything that I have left for my husband or for my wife. And I will walk in a way of a changed life from this day forward. Now, we are not a lollipop and gumdrop church, man. Oh, everything's just perfect and wonderful. Gang, in life, there are regrets. We make decisions in life that there is regret attached to it. And you can walk into a marriage and say, listen, I have failed in the past. And because I have such a love for you, I certainly regret that. But God's going to bless this union, and God's going to bless this marriage. And God's going to bless everything that we give to him. And that is including to our bodies. So please hear, there is amazing hope for you in the future. If you have said, but I've crossed that line. There will be regret, but there is hope. And there is healing. And there is freedom. And there is life. Please know that. Please know that. You've got to allow God to heal you in that area. Come on, 2 Corinthians 6, please. 2 Corinthians 6. This is my little note from my baby. She says, I love you, Dad. Love Olivia. Come on. And my other note from my little son says, Lord, help him in his preach. I love my kids, King. I'm so blessed. I cannot tell you how blessed I am. Carter done wrote me notes. My 15-year-old done wrote me notes. Can you? I don't know why, right? I mean, come on. 15, young man, beefy, getting strong. Write your dad a love note. What's wrong with you, son? Come on. Second Corinthians 6, 14. Okay, I want you to see this. I want you to see it up on the screen. I'm going to read it here. You can see it in your scripture. It says this. Do not be bound together or yoked together or unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God has said, I will dwell in them and I will walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. This is what God says. He says, do not be unequally yoked. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. This is a, you cannot screw this one up, folks. You can't call this a gray area. You can't call this one, well, I'm not sure what he said by that. What did he actually mean? He said, don't do it. Deuteronomy 22:10 says this. I want you to, you shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. Your version might say, do not plow with an ox or an ass together. Gang, could you imagine? Listen, please, point number two to this message is this. Don't be an ox tied to an ass. Listen, that's what some Bible versions say. I don't know. You can take it. I don't know why you're laughing. You can take that for whatever you want. Okay? I got to tell you this. After last night, this is funny. And then I'll get serious in a minute. So prepare. Someone come up and said, oh, we need a new t-shirt. I'm like, oh, boy. And they said, on the front, have an ox and a donkey under a yoke, right? And then on the back, say, don't be yoked to an ass. I mean, I just like, or no, what did they say? They said, no, I'm sorry. They said, don't marry an ass. That's what they said. I'm like, and I can honestly tell you that I said no. I said, David, as much as I thought that was a good idea, I said, yeah, that may not work. Folks, don't marry an ass. I'm telling you, this is real. You put an ox and a donkey together, fact is they can't plow the field. Truth is they can't be effective. Truth is, one is going to be trying to pull the weight of the other. Truth is, they might just go in circles because one is so much lighter than the other. Truth is, one's up here and one's down there. Truth is, they have different functions, folks. And when you see what God is saying here, don't be bound together with unbelievers. I don't care how nice he is. I don't care how good looking she is. Yeah, but Sean, did you see her? Did you check? Listen, I don't care how good looking she is. I don't care how nice she is. I don't care how nice he is. I don't give a rip what kind of job he has. God said, don't do it. God said, don't be unequally yoked. God says you can't be effective. Look at this. You can't look at, for what partnership or what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Righteousness of those who are standing in God's standard. This. Lawlessness are those who reject and rebel against what God says is right and wrong. You're going to connect yourself for this life and that? Look what he says. Come on. For what fellowship has light with darkness? This word fellowship is koine. It is this, even this intimate, even this close relationship, even of a closeness of even intercourse. This is what this means. For what business does light have with darkness? For those who are walking in truth, for those who are the light, what business? How can you become so close with light and dark? Darkness is that which is evil and that which is error. God says, you have completely different separate ideas. You are completely on other sides of the spectrum. This is what he says, man. You have a different purpose. You have a different kingdom. You have a different master. And yet we think that it's okay because they're nicer. They have a future. They have a career. They're going to take... God says you are different. God says you're from different places. You're from different kingdoms. You have different fathers. This is what he says. Different masters. Look what he says. For what harmony has Christ with Belial? Belial is an ancient name for Satan. Listen, these are the masters. These are the kingdoms. One will serve the kingdom of Christ. One will serve the kingdom of Satan. God said, don't do it. Don't do it. Look at this. For what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? Don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the living God? I can't make this more clear. I can't tell you how many times people sit before us as a team or us as pastors or us and say, listen, I married this guy and I thought he was nicer. I thought, or I married this girl and man, I thought. You better be not thinking, but absolutely sure that they love Jesus, that they are surrendered to him first, that he is first in their life, way before you are. That if they are putting you first before Christ, run. Run. Jesus makes it clear. The distance between anyone that you love on this planet or this earth compared to your love for me should be one of hatred. It can't get any more clear than that. If you are dating anyone who puts you before the relationship with Jesus, they are off target. And we recognize God does not make this a gray area. This is crystal clear. It saves you a headache. It saves you a divorce. It saves you problem. It saves you from being totally opposite. What do you have in common with the world? Why would we even think about attaching ourselves to the world? Crazy. Crazy. And God says, don't do it. If you are young and you are single in this place, don't be desperate. Do not settle. Do not think that they are nice. Do not think that they're good looking. Do not think that they have the finances to support. God said, don't do it. There's no excuse for it. And if you would put your stake in the ground this morning and say, I will not. Number one, I will glorify God on my body. I will not cross that line, and I will not. And I'm not even into that whole line thing. Please don't draw a line in the sand. You will cross it. Just make a conviction in your heart. That is not my way yet. And then you come to a stake in the ground and say, I will never, ever even date someone who doesn't love Jesus. Because you will marry someone you date every time. Unless you're like my family where I fix them. I will pick their husbands and wives. It'll be awesome. They don't have a choice in the dating thing. So if you're an Obergefell, I get to pick. Hallelujah. But if you're in other families, don't you dare date someone who doesn't love Jesus. Don't even make that a possibility. Don't even make that a possibility. My kids don't even date until they're older anyways. This whole 13, 14 dating thing is ridiculous. It is confusion. It is painful. It is hurt. It makes no sense. That's just, please take that. Come on, last point is this. Brennan, you can come up, bro. You can just stand for this last point. I want you to see this. Gang, we're going to put stakes in the ground this morning. You're being single. You're making decisions from this day forward. Past is the past. From this day forward, I serve Him. For this day forward, my body is not my own. From this day forward, I will... You know what's amazing? I had a teenager come up to me last night and say, Sean, I've been dating a guy for 3 years. And after, it wasn't even after this week's, it was after last week's message. Teenager. Said, I knew he wasn't saved. And I had a 3-year relationship, said, we are no more. Yes! That is awesome! Because she put a stake in the ground and said, from this day forward, things change. And you as a young person, from this day forward, you would make a decision that things change. Whether you say that this is a one-time gift that I can only give once and I'm saving it. Whether you say this isn't even my body, I'm giving away something that doesn't even belong to me. And I wouldn't ever want that to happen to me. Or you say I will never, never get involved in the opposite sex of someone who isn't madly surrendered, that has a great reverence and a fear for God, who hates sin and walks in this worship relationship with Jesus. I won't even think about it. And the last point is that you are just going to trust Him. And if you're at an age, maybe in a college age or even an adult age where you are single, widowed, divorced, have been single all your life, and you are feeling that pressure and you're feeling that loneliness and you're feeling that depression and you're feeling that hurt, what it would be like once again to be joined to another. The enemy would love for you to settle. The enemy would love for you to just go with the next to try to help that hurt. You know what God says? Would you please just trust me? I know you're beginning to the end. I know where you've been and I know where you're going. Would you please just trust me? What an amazing God and Father we have that says, please trust me. If it is your desire to be married, it is your desire to walk in a godly relationship with husband and wife, then God, please, He says, trust me in this. It is the greatest decision that you will make. Gang, we have trusted Him with our salvation. How about the second most important, life-changing, authoring decision that you will make, that we trust Him with it? And we don't take any chances on our own. That we would come before Him and say, God, I will trust you in this. That you make a decision this morning, right here and right now, saying, God, even in my hurt, even in my loneliness, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to settle, God. I will trust you. That you will bring that godly man. That you will bring that godly woman. That, God, you will reveal to me their heart and their love for you. That I know that I'm on the right path. And that you would trust Him. Psalm, a couple places in Psalm. I just want to see this and then we'll close with the song. But as for me, I trust you, O Lord. Make it personal. But as for me, God, this is a personal decision. But as for me, I trust you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. I belong to you. You are my Father. You know my future. And as for me, God, I will trust you. You are my God. Look at Psalm 37:5. This is great. Commit, that word commit, a powerful picture of rolling it all over to Him. I'm asking you this morning to roll the hurt, the loneliness, to roll that feeling of unsettledness, to roll that desire even almost so close to making a decision to settle for this one. Look what God says. Commit, man. Roll it over to me. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. And He will do it. Or one version will say, He will see it through. Do you trust God that He will see it through? Do you trust God that He will bring that one in that is designed and created by Him for you? Powerful, powerful. When you make a decision today to say, I will trust Him. I am not going to settle. Father, I pray for this morning, God. I thank you that this would just sit in our hearts.
And it would just be sealed by your Holy Spirit in our lives. That we get this. Folks, as Brennan sings this song, I just want you to hear this song, please. And know that we can trust Him. And know in our brokenness, He can heal. And to know the past is the past and I trust Him in my future. And to commit it to Him. And through the song, you will see God knows your beginning and He knows your end. And in everything, He is sovereign and I will trust Him. Come on, just hear this song, please.